Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Cease.
And I'm Brian Williams.
And today we're going to talk about
bivocational ministry.
Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. In this episode, we're going to talk about challenges to bivocational ministry. Now, when it comes to bivocational ministry, your vocation is much different than mine. However, there still are some similarities. For instance, I work here at Wilson University and I teach, and sometimes some of the things that help me in teaching is that some of the same things that I'm preaching or teaching throughout the week may come from my line of work. Mm-hmm. You, on the other hand, it's much different because you run your own business.
Right. So, like, just to give you a little background, the whole thing about starting a business or running a business, I kind of got there originally out of necessity because I've spent the better part of my life in ministry in doing church staff ministry, right? So it's a very demanding world to be involved on church staff. I've done this all across the country in a lot of different settings, small church settings, large church settings, middle of the road kind of settings. But the demands of a church schedule is that, you have to be very flexible. So I couldn't just go out and get it. And I've done that where I've worked a 40-hour a week job, and then you get off at a certain time, 5, 6 o'clock, and then you go do your church type things. But it's not really optimal because there's a lot of things you're missing during the day. For me, the best situation was to try to start some kind of business that allowed me the flexibility to do things at the church when I needed to do things at the church and just kind of work my life around that. So for me, it was a matter of necessity. So I've spent the better part of the last 15 years trying to figure out ways, and maybe that's another podcast for a different day, different ways that you can be in full-time ministry or being in a church staff situation where maybe they're paying you a little bit. It's probably not very, very much, but they're paying you something, but you need something else to kind of supplement that. And so, I've worked through many, many different strategies to allow myself to make a full-time income while not drawing a full-time amount from the church or whatever. So in doing that, it allowed me to be just creative in how I approached making money and doing ministry at the church.
Yeah. So I think a lot of times when people think about pastors mm-hmm. that are bivocational, sometimes the perception is, they work a full-time job and they're a part-time pastor.
Right.
But that's really not the case.
Exactly.
You work a full-time job and you are a full-time pastor. And so I think some of the biggest issues or some of the challenges we face is ensuring that we maintain balance because, when you start a church, unless you're part of a large organization that is just going to pay people to go plant churches,
right,
you're probably going to plant the church or mm-hmm. start the church as somebody that is working a full-time job to ensure that ends meet while you're doing what you feel called to do. And so I know me personally, there are routines or there are a rhythm or a cadence that I feel I've kind of set up in my life to help me ensure that I maintain those balances. And I think you could probably look at those routines in a couple of different domains. And so I guess the first one would be in terms of ensuring my own spiritual health while pastoring and working a full-time job. And so what are some of the things that you kind of do to ensure that you're not focusing so much on work that you're neglecting your own spiritual side?
Right, right. So for me, you just hit on it when you talked about a little bit about routines. For me, I'm not a person that naturally gravitates toward routines. However, I've realized the importance of them. And part of that has been working a full-time job, like getting in a situation where you had to be at work on time. And essentially when you're working all day and you're punching a clock, you are committing yourself to a certain routine. And there's, even though nobody likes to be forced into a routine, I've had to force that onto myself as a matter of discipline. And so for me, that routine happens in the morning. As a business owner, you have to be proactive about forcing routines upon yourself. Because if not, you know, yes, I can come to work anytime, but there's also employees looking at me. They're looking at me for leadership. If they're showing up at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm showing up at 10. That's a different thing, you know, the way that they approach things. So for me, that devotion early on, I try to early on when I drop my kids off at school at 8 o'clock, from 8 to 9 is my personal devotional time. Now, sometimes that gets interrupted because of different things. You're a pastor. I'm a business owner. It gets interrupted. But I like to try to think, if I'm abiding by that 70% of the time, I think that that's a success, you know, in doing that. And I try to do that early where my mind is fresh. And it can be a myriad of different things. It's Bible reading. A lot of times the sermon, you know, I'm getting to the point where the sermon prep is just sort of kind of emerging out of devotional time, and it just kind of happens, and I'm not spending as much time where I thought that I would be, you know, really trying to flesh something out. If I'm spending time every day in devotion early on, a lot of times things are just kind of coming to me, so that's good. But the importance of routines, I'll kick it back to you here, but that establishing that routine has been a very important part of keeping balance in my life, for sure.
Yeah, I think what you said in terms of not going for perfection, but, you know, if I hit within this margin,
right,
that's what I'm aiming for, because it's easy if you're aiming for perfection to miss one and then feel like I messed everything up.
Right.
In fact, for me, I know I am traditionally a very late sleeper. Like, I go to bed late.
Yeah.
And I typically, for most people, still wake up early.
Right.
And so I used to kind of burn both ends of the candle. And so one of the things I've tried to do in this season where I'm working a full-time job and pastoring is I've actually tried to ensure I get more sleep.
Yeah.
And what I've actually found out is I had to change my whole sleep schedule. So I would get up and I'd read a little bit, then I'd go to work, and then I'd find time for prayer towards the end of the day. I'd start with a little bit, find some at the end of the day, and then try and work like the gym in there or something like that. And what I found out in multiple failures, and I think it's good because you have to find out what works for you. What I found out in multiple failures is I try now to go to bed no later than like 9 or 9:30. But I also wake up at 3:45 in the morning. That way I'm at the church at 4 o'clock for prayer. And so I'll pray from 4 to 5. And in that time, you know, I'll crack the Bible open or just pray, whichever I feel led to do in that time. And then from 5 to 6, I actually go to the gym.
Okay.
And not Slim Jim. That's the old gym that I used to go to, you know, stop at the gas station
boy,
and grab something to eat.
I got some work to do. Man, I got some work to do.
But here's the thing, it's about what works for you, right?
Yeah,
so like,
that's right.
I started it, like I'd be like, okay, I'm going to get up and go to the church and pray at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go to work. And two out of those days is in Elk Grove, so about an hour and a half drive. The other 3 days it's from home. And I was like, well, I'm getting into work a little too late because now I'm catching all the traffic. And so what should be an hour and a half drive is now a 2 hour drive with traffic. I'm like, well, if my time's limited, I've got to push that back.
Right.
Well, then I was like, well, I did some blood tests and found out that cholesterol and other things were a little higher than what they should have been.
Okay.
And so the best thing for cholesterol is sleep and exercise.
Okay.
And so now I've got to try and fit in exercise. And so I asked myself, okay, well, let's do this at night.
Yeah.
And so I started doing exercise at night, and I was missing them all the time. Now that I do it in the morning, I rarely ever miss some exercise. And that's primarily because one of the other things is the guy that assists me down at the church goes at the same time. And so Ramiro and I will meet at the gym at like 5 in the morning, and we'll do a little elliptical work. We'll do a little lifting, and then it's to the sauna to feel good, and then I'm on my way in here. And so I've really tried to work on establishing that rhythm. And like you said, I think what's really cool is One of the things that I started doing was, or seeing, was the more time I spent in devotional reading, mm-hmm. The more I didn't have to go to the Bible for a sermon.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the things I did, I kind of set it over here, is I've got this little notebook that I found. It's pretty cool. I've got a calendar on one side, regular notes on the other. And as I'm reading, if something comes to my mind, I just grab a pen and just jot the verse, like five or six words that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just keep reading. And then when it comes back time to study for what's going to be preached, I'm like, hey, I remember that verse really spoke to me this morning. And then I'll open it back up, my few couple notes I had, and maybe dig in a little bit further.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I approach that side. I mean, that's a little bit of two, right? So spiritual-wise, I get up early. I actually read a book right as I started getting up early. I believe it was, I forget what it was called, but it was a newer one written by Brother Holmes. And Brother Holmes was talking about, in his mind, the importance of what God laid on his heart for waking up early and for praying and starting out your day with prayer. And for me, it really feels like when I start my day with prayer, mm-hmm. I'm already in that mindset, so the rest of my day kind of goes a little bit smoother.
Right.
So in case you wonder how scripted this is,
yeah,
we are taking notes in the middle of what we're saying, because this to us really, like, you guys didn't see it. I was about to do it in the last podcast.
Yeah.
As we were talking, I'm over here taking notes yeah. about stuff Brian said that I was like, oh, I didn't try that. That's awesome. So I'd write it down. And then I didn't realize until the end that he was doing the same thing.
Right, right.
And yeah. so, like, we're not talking as people that think we're know-it-alls.
That's right.
We're talking as people that
I'm
are kind of...
I'm writing it down as we go here.
We're talking as people that are kind of sharing what works for us and how right. we get through things.
Exactly.
And sometimes in the midst of that, we give each other ideas
yeah.
and take it back home. So in addition to your own spiritual walk, do you have some things in place that you do family-wise?
Okay, so for me, it's Monday. I try to make Monday today a day where it's, even though I'm coming to work right now to do this, Monday is a little bit of my rest day in the sense that by the time I'm done on Sunday night, I am just wiped out. And I know a lot of people get up and go to work on Monday, and I could do that, but like I try to devote Monday as a day of rest and try to keep that as much as I can. You know, things get interrupted, you know, but my kids, I try to be home every night to be with my kids and my family. You know, we're working on better routines and things like that, but I've got to keep my family and my kids at a primary place in my life, you know. And I've heard all these different stories about people who are not prioritizing their family right, and they're putting all this effort into their ministry, and their family suffers. And I'm trying to be very intentional about not doing that. I've got other goals too. I like doing what we're doing about being pastoring and all that, but I also have entrepreneurship goals. I'm trying to teach my kids at a young age to love the Word. We got our kid doing Bible quizzing now, and so we've got some of that going on. Business, there's all these different things that I'm trying to do along with being a pastor, and you just got to do what works for you. And I can't say I've got it figured out. Like right now, I'm in process. I'm making adjustments as we go. You know, Friday seems to be a good time to get with family, but we got this Bible study that emerged and on Fridays, and now all of a sudden that took the place of that. So we just kind of shift things around.
Yeah.
So it is a dance, at least for me at this point. It's this dance that we're trying to get through where I have to be very flexible, and that's the only thing that's a constant is change.
Yeah. Well, not only do you have to be flexible, the family
yeah.
flexes with you.
Right.
I think that's something that a lot of people overlook. Like, you know, we typically do family-related stuff on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And so since we do family-related stuff on Saturday, that means I kind of have to be prepared going into Sunday
yeah.
prior to Saturday.
Right.
Because Saturday's I'm going to, whatever it is, maybe we go shopping, maybe we go to a friend's house, maybe we, whatever. But because all that time is there, well, I think that goes back to the other part of rhythm. So, like, I have a service Wednesday night, I have a service Sunday morning, and I have service Sunday night. And I would say 95% of the time, I'm preaching Wednesday, I'm preaching Sunday morning, I'm preaching Sunday night. And so like part of my cadence in that is, and my rhythm is, I'm typically on Tuesday fleshing out what I'm going to preach Wednesday.
Right.
Thursday, I'm typically fleshing out what I'm preaching Sunday morning.
Gotcha.
Friday, I'm typically fleshing out what I'm preaching Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to allow all those things to take place of everything else. And that's why I've tried to. I'm not saying I'm good at it. I think I'm where you're at. I'm like, hey, if I can hit 75%, that's amazing.
Absolutely.
I try to hit that. There's times where, you know, I'll text Ramiro and I'll be like, hey, you going to the gym?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 4:30 in the morning. I'm hoping his response is no. Because I'm like, I just want to sleep another hour. And sometimes I do. But it's... It really comes down to for me, if I don't have some type of routine, if I don't have some type of schedule, something is going to fall off.
Right.
Maybe some work from work falls off. Maybe I didn't spend enough time in prayer and I'm agitated. Maybe I didn't give enough time to putting a sermon together, and so I go up feeling unprepared, and you know, you walk to the pulpit with what you feel to preach, and you didn't put as much time in. You're like the school kid before he takes the test.
Yeah,
Lord Jesus, help me with this test that is before me. But I don't do that anymore because of the routine I established. And I think it's important for bivocational ministers to develop a routine that really works for them.
Yeah.
I get up early. Brian doesn't get up nearly as early.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's really the time that matters. I think it's finding what works for you the best. And so I know when I was in a different season where I was finishing doctoral work, like what worked best for me was going to bed at like 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because my kids would go to bed at about 9. And from 9 to 2,
mm-hmm.
I would write papers.
Right.
But then I'd wake up at 7.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about what works for you and adjusting it where it works the most. What other things? What do you do? I mean, I think it's also important to have time not only to rest in terms of sleeping, but to rest in terms of hobbies. Do you have any hobbies?
Okay, so like yes, you know, my hobbies have kind of shifted over time, and a lot of times it's now it has to do with my kids and family and that kind of stuff. So I've taken up golfing a lot more in the last few years. I'm just trying to teach my kids that particular skill, and there's practical reasons for that. It's not just to take them out golfing, but there's practical business reasons why having a decent golf game is a good thing. Okay. You know, so I'm just trying to help my kids in that area. It's a good way to just kind of blow off steam, go do that. But I think, you know, another thing regarding where I'm at right now, I'm in a different space than I was 4 or 5 months ago, in that I have more demands on me now than I did. And what it's forcing me to do is increase my capacity to lead. Now, you've heard this phrase. It's sort of like a trending phrase. You know, I always hear about people increasing their capacity. But like, what happens is, if you're not careful, you add this other thing, okay, of pastoring or you know, whatever, church work, and whatever was doing really, really good, let's say your job or your business or whatever, has a tendency to come down because there's only so much of you doing that exists. And so it's a challenge, but right now it's a challenge that's making me better, in the sense that I am having to figure out how to get other leaders involved, other people involved, to increase my output and reduce the amount of time that I'm spending. Because right now I'm going crazy trying to figure out all this stuff to do. But the real challenge is I've got to build structures and put things in place that allow me to be able to do this. And it's a leadership issue. I recognize it as a leadership issue. I've got to increase my capacity with my business. I've got to put leaders in there. And then if, you know, learning that allows me to be able to do and have more freedom to do things with my family and do those hobbies, like you're saying.
Yeah.
So, golfing, that is like my focus right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say hobbies is probably the hardest thing for me.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. So in 2016, I went to my first on-site class for my doctoral program.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go through and we had to do this DISC assessment. And so in the DISC assessment, you know, what type of leader are you? You know, DI, DS, DC, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so it was funny because there was like six or seven people that got up before me that said they were DC. And as soon as they stood up and started giving their presentation on everything in there that was DC, the director pretty much ripped them apart. They're like, he's like, you're not DC. You don't even know who you are. And so then it's my turn to get up and present a presentation on this DISC assessment I took. Yeah. And lo and behold, my assessment said I'm DC.
Okay.
And so I'm walking to the front, and in my mind I'm thinking, oh my goodness, he is going to just eat my lunch like he did everybody else's. And so I start presenting. I didn't even get to what I was yet. And he goes, Casey, what are you? I said, based on my assessment, I didn't want to say I am. Based on my assessment, I'm DC. And he stopped, and I'm like, here it comes. And he turned to everybody else in the class. He goes, if you want to see what a DC person looks like, here it is. This is what he looks like. And he goes, and here's how you prove that. He goes, Casey, what are your hobbies? I said, well, I just feel like hobbies are so unproductive.
Yeah.
And he goes, that's the response I expected.
Right.
He said, but people with that temperament, what they fail to realize is, yeah, you can be real productive for a short period of time.
Right.
And kill yourself.
Right.
Or you can learn how to pace yourself
yeah.
and be productive for a longer time.
Right.
And so no joke, 2016, first year in a doctoral program, the first homework I was given was when you go home, you need to find a hobby.
There you go.
And so I picked up golf. Again, started playing it. I'm ashamed to say I haven't gone golfing for 3 years. So I think the last time I went golfing was 2022 Memorial Day with everybody else at TRC when they have the big old outing on golfing.
That's right, yeah.
And I don't think I've golfed since then, so I'd say the only hobbies I probably have right now are taking a walk and going to the gym.
Yeah.
But it is an outlet, but I can assure you that while for most probably high-strung and go-getters type people, hobbies are lower on the list, but you need time for that. And I think another thing that's low on the list for most people that are bivocational pastors are creating space, and golf kind of does this and hobbies does this. I think this is why it's important, but creating space for relationships. You pour out into your business, you pour out into the people you lead, and you can't always kind of go back and talk about some of your struggles with the same people you lead.
Right.
And so I think for us, at least, I think that's part of the beauty of planting a church, but still being connected to, for us, the Rock Church in Elk Grove,
right.
and also to other pastors. And so, you know, we've got quite a few Branch Works campuses here in the California area. And those meetings that we have once a month are good, but I also think, you know, you and I doing this, we get to talk a good bit. And then even in addition to that, what was it last week? I think you and I went out with Brother Chad Adair and had some lunch, and we just kind of sat around, had a good time talking and eating, and
right.
and then went back to work. So I think, what do you think about the importance of relationships and them being overlooked?
The relationships with people that are non-ministry, that's your, yeah. you're referring to.
Well, not even non-ministry, but the people that you're not leading.
Right, exactly.
So there's a lot of people that have, they pastor a church.
Right.
And maybe they're cut off from other ministers.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I pastored in Silence Grove, there were very few people
right.
I talked to. And so when you're having issues or you're going through something, you're like, well, I can't talk to my saints about this.
Yeah.
I can't talk to this person about this.
Yeah.
And so, like, then you just kind of keep it inward.
Yeah, for me, it's like, that's, you mentioned about being connected to a larger church. It's one of those things that I've talked to other pastors, and you know, just quite honestly, there are some people that when you talk to them, they hesitate or they don't like the idea of being connected to a larger church for whatever reason. I mean, they have their reason. But me personally, that has been a catalyst for success in so many ways because I am connected to a lot of different people, and even people that are not really ministry, but they're people that I've known for a long time, and you have ways of connecting not just myself, but also my family. We are not isolated, you know? You know, I think at this stage with my kids, you know, I'm choosing who their friends are. I'm choosing who their associations are, and that's a very important part of their upbringing and their rearing is to have those particular relationships that are beyond just the people that you're serving. Because, I mean, let's face it, a lot of the people that we serve or we're trying to help or we're trying to establish in the faith are very broken people in many ways. You're having to pour into these people and help them see, and they come from very broken situations. So that's not the only thing I want my children to see about church. I want them to see healthy situations. So I need to have a wide spectrum of relationships that exist in my life, both those people that we're helping and the people that we look to, you know, as for leadership.
Yeah, I think another thing for me that really helps with the larger church, and I'll close on this for me and then let you have some closing words if you have any. But I think one of the things that's important for me in terms of the church that I pastor and being connected to the larger church is something like this past Sunday, All Nation Sunday.
Yeah.
Now, did the whole church from Turlock come up to All Nation Sunday? No, but I think we had 25 or 30 people come from the Turlock campus up to All Nation Sunday.
Yeah.
And so it does two things for me. I think the one thing it does is it lets them know that they're a part of something bigger.
Yeah.
And so they see, I don't know, what was here Sunday, 2,000 people?
Right,
they see a bunch of people interacting, having fun, and it's wholesome, good Christian fellowship.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I think they see, especially when you're planting a church, that I think is huge, is they see that where we're at is not where we're always going to be at.
Right.
And that we don't have to compromise on certain things to reach a certain level of success.
Yeah.
We can be apostolic, we can hold on to what we believe and still grow without compromising.
Right, for sure.
And so to me, that's one of the bigger parts too about being connected to a larger church and organization.
Absolutely. For me, I just want to hit on this real quick, and that is how being bivocational has helped me in many ways in some of the formation of how I do outreach, how I connect with people, and how we are going about establishing relationships in our area. So, you know, as a business owner, or I'm in the fight all the time with acquiring customers, establishing relationships on that level. And so it's very, I do not hesitate to try to establish connections with people. And so my job, my vocation, my business has been something that has really helped me in being able to take a lot of those skills from my business and applying that to my church setting. And I think that is, in many ways, and we talk about Paul being a tent maker and a lot of that, and we just kind of associate him with just making tents. But in those days, if I have this right, you know, they were artisans. They didn't just make the tents. They were involved in the entire process that goes with that. So Paul may have been involved with the selling of the tent, in the marketing of the tent, and the, you know, the acquisition of materials. He understood profit loss. He understood all of those particular things. And all of the things are very important when you're pastoring a church. You need new people in your church. You need new customers if you're running a tent business. And so for me, I have to be able to do, I have taken a lot of those skills and moved those over into how I run events, how we get new people to come to our church, how we manage those first impressions when people come to our church. All of those things have real world applications in church, and I couldn't have done those, or it would have been a lot harder to do had I not had a context that I was testing these things in a secular environment. And so, of course, my goal is to be a full-time pastor. But I can tell you, there is so many different skills that I am using on a daily basis that I am refining in the real world. I say real world. I mean, pastoring is the real world as well. We kind of like make that distinction. But the truth is, the workplace skills have sharpened my ministry skills in so many ways. And even like at the church at TRC where I'm involved, I'm still involved with the music there. And I don't want to not be involved with the music there, because what it does is it keeps my foot and myself in the game in a way where I know about what's cutting edge. I know about what's happening. I know how to, I'm still integrated in a way that allows me to stay up to date. And I think that that is a part that is very important and something that I need to take advantage of, or I'm trying my best to take advantage of as a bivocational pastor. Use everything that you have available to you. Bring it back home, because there's a way that you can probably apply that to your local church setting. I'll kick it back to you.
Well, thank you for joining us on this week's episode of All Things Apostolic. If you're a bivocational minister, pastor, we hope this helped you. If you're not, we hope that you understand some of the stuff that your bivocational pastor is dealing with. Join us next week. God bless.